Welcome to another special episode of Africa State of Mind, a podcast about great Africans doing great things on the continent and around the globe. It is all about changing the narrative on Africa, owning our own stories and controlling them. The podcast is definitely about curating incredible African stories by Africans. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for your suggestions and comments on our social media pages. Our social media pages, again, for those who just joined us, Facebook at Africa State of Mind, Twitter at Africa State Mind. Let's get straight into this episode. My guest on today's episode of Africa State of Mind, I've known for just over 7 years. I still remember while working at a music channel, I had to find new VJs and was in Tanzania for this particular assignment. She came in rather modestly dressed and had a bout of flu, no makeup, with her hair tied up in a loose pony. In my mind, I thought, this should be interesting. But once the cameras went on, she lit up, and from that moment, she went on to win the hearts of African audiences across this great continent. A former Miss Tanzania runner-up, she's also a social entrepreneur and advocate for girls in Tanzania. She's a successful fashion designer and made history when her company Kidoti received a $5 million investment from the Chinese government. She's an award-winning actress, a singer who always worked her way towards pushing limits. In 2017, she made the Forbes 30 Under 30 list, and this year she was appointed as the new district commissioner of Kisarawe District in Pwani region by the highest office in Tanzania, the president of Tanzania. Please help me welcome this remarkable young lady. She breaks every single stereotype, conceives every single stereotype, and shows that anything that you want to do is truly possible. And she reminds young girls in Tanzania and across the continent that your dreams are not only valid, but they're also possible. She's truly changing the African narrative. Jo Kate, hey.
Hey, Leslie.
How are you?
I'm great. You just took me back down memory lane.
I know.
The first day we met at the Multiple Choice offices. I was like, what in the world am I saying?
I actually remember that day. Everybody kept on saying to me before I left, the guys at Multiple Choice and DSTV were saying, you've got to speak to this girl, Jo Kate. Jo Kate is the one. She's a role model. She's this. And in my mind, I just thought, oh my gosh, because I actually had to wait long for you to come. And when you came in, I kind of looked at you
and I remember.
And then you just did your audition.
I'm always without makeup, my hair, you know.
Yeah, which is quite a far cry. It's quite a far cry from the way people imagine somebody who was a beauty queen. But Jo Kate, welcome to Africa State of Mind. Firstly, this new appointment, I have to jump straight there. How do you feel about it? How did it come about?
Well, last year I had contested to be a member of the East African Legislative Assembly. And it was actually my first, kind of like my debut in active politics. And I think I did pretty well. I wasn't shortlisted, but I did pretty well for a first timer.
Yeah.
And who hadn't really campaigned quite a lot. And I had shown interest in politics, but I hadn't been really active in the past. So that was my debut.
So you had,
and from there,
yeah.
Sorry.
No, continue.
So from there, because I did well, but I wasn't shortlisted to be among the, I think, top six who would go to the parliament and, you know, kind of like contest and campaign in front of the members of parliament. And yeah, so I did pretty well, and later on I got appointed as Secretary for Mobilization and Public Relations at the national level for the youth wing for the ruling party, Chama cha Mapinduzi.
Wow. So, but I mean, I guess it's also the, because you said it was your debut in terms of being actively involved in politics, because even from the time that you were Channel O VJ and all of that, you could always still see that you had this passion and this love for Tanzania, and you wanted to make a difference. What was it that made you decide that, okay, you were going to take the profile that you had, you were going to, you know, take a bold step and go into politics? Because it's quite ruthless. Politics aren't, you know, it's never really fun.
Oh, yes, for sure. You know, when I was in secondary school, even from primary school, I would always be appointed as a leader. People would always trust me and always see me like someone who's outstanding and who could lead them, who could speak, kind of like bring people together, organize people, coordinate for a greater cause. And I think even my upbringing, I come from a family where my mom is very much in love with, she loves people a lot. And my brother was actively involved in a number of youth-led organizations. So I've always had that kind of inspiration around me to just be of value and help, always strive to help your community wherever you are, make a difference, stand out, and you know, set a precedence and show people like this is the way that should be traveled.
And now you've had quite
Sorry,
I think there's a delay in the line. Sorry, continue.
So it came as second nature to me. Wherever I was always very active. I would always be very engaging. They would call me weed. You know how in Africa, like even in Tanzania, weed flour is used for multiple things. For vitumbua and stuff. So they were, are you like unga? They call it unga angano. So like, oh, unga angano, weed flour, you're doing everything. But that's just me. It was just in me. You know, I couldn't stop myself. By not being that was unnatural for me.
Sure. And when you say that, I remember your Instagram handle actually used to say, or the description used to be Joe Kate of many trades. But I think it's
of all trades.
Yes. Now, Joe Kate, maybe if we can just go back a little bit in time, you know, just in terms of some of the amazing work that you have done and just the awesome opportunities that you've had and the big feats that you've had. I think it's so important that we tell that story too. You know, so let's talk a little bit about, you know, one of the first times that people actually in Tanzania possibly got to know of you when you became the second runner up for Miss Tanzania. Talk to us about that night, because I can imagine not winning must have been a bit, you know,
it was bad because everybody was rooting for me. It was crazy because I won, I think, most voted for one of the newspapers, and I became ambassador. So everyone was like, oh, we want your kid. And then that happened. So it was crazy. I remember I couldn't walk in the streets. Everyone would call me, like, I would walk in the streets and be like, oh, you are a winner. So it was really, like, down for me. I was like, oh, this is too much, you know? So I remember forcing myself to just stay indoors for, like, almost a week and a half, to just take it in and not face people. Because I actually felt like I let people down. Yeah, but God's blessing. You know, God has his ways of, you know, doing things. So I had to accept that, and it really humbled me to a great extent. But it never made me not continue to pursue my dreams. Because for me, that was just a platform.
Yeah.
You know, to showcase the different talents that I have, and to just network and meet different people.
And now, just from that lesson, because I think a lot of people, you know, across the continent in general, like I think even across the world, we all face disappointments and setbacks when we think that this is the one, I'm going to get this. What lesson did you learn from that, you know, that you think that young people need to understand? What lesson did you learn from that, and how did you use it as a fuel to keep going?
Well, you always have to use what you have.
Yeah.
Make great use of what you have. You know, it doesn't lessen the person that you are. The environment you're in doesn't lessen the person that you are. I was still able to pursue numerous things that I had wanted to pursue. And that for me was the most important thing. You know, and sometimes life has to do that to you so that you look inside yourself and see, okay, what do I have? And work with it.
And now with regards to Kidoti, I was really, I remember where I was when I saw a post on Instagram. I'm like, she got 5 million. I was like, what? In my mind, I didn't really know
it was crazy.
It was crazy because I didn't know what was happening. I knew that you always spoke about Kidoti and you were, you know, there were the slippers, there was the hair.
I started off it was very modest. I was like, oh, I want to have my own brand. I had finished studying university at the University of Dar es Salaam, and I had met with some couple of guys who had gone to the same university, but they had studied business. I had studied political science. So we're like, I need help. I want to start my own brand. I feel like I need to have something different. I've been in this industry. I've been in the fashion beauty industry. I feel like I can have a product and it will sell.
Mm.
So I had my first producer, and then we had like a misunderstanding later on. Then my partner went to China and he found those great investors, of which later on we also had another major setback. But for me, what was important that I dared to do something that was very alien at the time.
Mm.
When I started, everyone was like, "What? Who does she think she is?"
Mm.
You know? But for me, it was important to set that precedent. For me, it's always important to show the way.
Mm.
Because not every young person can be employed, for instance.
Mm.
And I remember being at the university because I already had a public persona. A lot of young people come to me, oh, we need jobs, we need this and this. And so I'm like, no, instead of looking for jobs, why don't you look inside yourself and see how you can be a source of creating more jobs?
Mm-hmm.
And for me to be able to preach that, I felt like I needed to go through that process and understand what it takes
mm-hmm.
to actually starting your own business,
mm-hmm.
owning your own franchise, or owning your own, like, employing people, you know, and the hustle that goes with it. And it was a great experience for me because I remember when I held my first product, I was like, wow, I can't believe this is actually happening.
Mm.
But I was very thankful to God because I think I was 23 by the time, 22, 23, and it was a tremendous, like, milestone for me
mm.
to just be able to do that, to do that. And nobody had done that. Nobody of my caliber, of my background, had done that before at that level. Because I remember when we kicked off, we sold immediately, and it was amazing. We just, as most businesses are, it's never, the road is never smooth. It's yes. rough, you know. There are ups and downs, and that's the beauty of pursuing one's dream. If it's easy, then everyone would be able to do it. But if it's tough, it means it requires you to have more vigor and more belief that what you're doing is actually what you're set off to do.
Mm. Sure, I love that. I think that's such an important thing to say. You know, it's like if something was easy, everybody would be able to do it. That's definitely true.
For sure.
Now, Jokate, I know that you've also been involved quite a lot. If I recall correctly, if my memory serves me correctly, there was a time when you were involved in the netball and basketball scene within Tanzania where you were actually building
yes.
courts, which I'm like, because you were
yes.
20... I think people mustn't go past the fact that at the age of 22, you had a highly successful business, you know, that you had.
Yes.
Now,
yeah.
you also were involved in with the building of either netball or basketball courts. Let's speak about that mm-hmm. and recreation mm-hmm. and how you got involved in all that.
Well, first off, when I started Kidoti, because it was a young brand, we would encourage so many young people to partner with us in, like, buying our products and reselling them. So most young people had their first business experience through Kidoti.
Oh, wow. In Tanzania, yeah?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, in Tanzania. So we supported a lot of young girls who were in universities, out of universities. Just we would give them products at great prices and encourage them to actually buy and just, you know, sell and earn an income.
Mm.
And for me, that was important because it was unconventional. And for us, it was a way of creating a new generation, a new breed of young business minds and business people.
Mm.
So in the same aspect, we were like, we need to give back, you know, like give back because these are our customers. These are the people we depend on to promote the brand, to speak of the brand and to experience the brand. Because for us, the brand is not just about, was not just about selling a product. It was about selling a story. Selling a belief, you know, through the brand was a representation of what a young person could achieve,
mm.
you know. So for us, it was very important to engage the younger population and just go back and talk to them about the opportunities that we have in our country, in our continent, and how we should be very assertive and proactive into how we grasp these opportunities. It's not going to be easy, but it's worth the while.
Mm.
So I remember we did a bonanza for students in secondary schools at Yangwani Secondary School, and we invited almost 20 schools in Dar es Salaam. We had around 3,000 students, and we allowed them to come and showcase their various talents. I remember people gave me cards, handmade cards, beaded necklaces, you know, to just keep that spirit burning. And so we had this bonanza at a school, and the sports teacher was the one who was working closely with me, to, like, helping organize the event. So after the event, I mean, as we were working towards the event, we're thinking, okay, what else could we do? You know, we have to give back. And then later on, I was like, you know what? We don't really have a sport facility here. Mm. I'm like, yeah, that's true. And you have girls with disabilities, and they have to commute to town, you know, because they need to exercise. I'm like, no, I'm going to take this upon me, and we're going to build like a basketball and netball court. And then we did a little bit of research. We realized like most schools didn't have such a facility. And for me, it's really important for kids to be able to learn inside the classroom and outside the classroom.
Mm.
Sports is a great way for young people to stay away from activities that could, you know,
derail them,
drive them into maybe drug abuse or just being lazy and non-productive. And it's a great way for young people to network, build their self-esteem, build discipline, and just find themselves. You know, those are the years where young people need to engage themselves in as many positive activities as possible so that they can find themselves and find their purpose and passion and drive. So that was the essence of us doing the bonanza, and actually seeing how we could help these schools have facilities that could help young people not only learn in class, but also learn outside the classroom, engage their fellow young people's network, you know, test their limits and go beyond.
Okay. Now, Jokate, as you mentioned, because you said earlier on about how you studied political science, which is something I did not know about you,
mm-hmm.
you know, and of course,
really?
You know, I had
honors.
You got an honors in political science.
I did very well. Yes,
well, you did very well.
Really well.
Fantastic. I'll send you.
Thank you.
A gift.
Ugandan outfit. That will do.
I'll send you a Ugandan outfit. No problem.
A traditional dress.
Okay. I know exactly which one you want. You know, so I guess one of the things I'll reference what's going on in the States currently and then bring it back home, you know, to Africa.
Mm-hmm.
There's always this situation around if you're somebody who's involved in popular culture, and for all intents and purposes, I think you've got like 3 million followers on Instagram, if not more. I'm not so sure what your Twitter account is or Facebook is, but you've got that. Mm-hmm. You also were, you're also an award-winning actress, which is what we mentioned before. You're you're a singer as well. You know, you've won awards in all of these spheres. Mm-hmm. You're a runner-up in a beauty competition.
Yeah.
You're a VJ, you know, on Channel O. You traveled around the continent. You were hanging out in Nigeria doing work as well. So then, everybody, like, although you have a political, an honors in political science, there's always this thing that's like, just because somebody's a celebrity, why should they be involved in politics? Or are they just, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, how do you deal with that? Because especially in America, where there's that particular crisis because of the particular celebrity who's particularly in charge. you know, how do you bring those two worlds together in a way that it's authentic, you know? And also, does this mean that you're going to be not doing any more of the things that you were doing in terms of entertainment? How are you going to balance those two worlds?
Well, the thing is, I think my case is very interesting.
My case, you're a real politician.
My case, because my disposition is quite interesting. This should be a case study, by the way, I think. Because right before I entered these beauty contests, if you had asked anybody, they would be like, "Why are you doing this? This is not you." Because I was like a strict student. Like, I would just go to school, be involved in school related activities, take up leadership positions, excel in classroom. I was always amongst the best students, the most loved by the teachers and the students, you know. my life was like a triangle: school, home, church. School, home, church. I rarely would go. My first clubbing experience was during the beauty contest, you know. So whenever people like, so I was that strict, you know, and was that my life was that disciplined, so to say. So when I wanted to, but I also had this in me, like I would love to watch Oprah. I would love to watch. By then, I would watch East Africa TV, and I would see all these like personalities on TV. By then, guys like ABBA, I forgot the other girl's name, but they were popular on TV. They would speak, and they would be nice. I was like, wow, I would love to do that. But while I was also strict in class, I would always do like performances. You know, when you have those school concerts, I would be like Alicia Keys. The next day, I'll be Beyonce. You know, I'll do fashion shows. I'll do that. So I also had that element in me, that creative element that wanted to be funny, be animated, be staged, you know? So when I decided to get into beauty concerts, people were like, oh, what is she doing? You know, it's crazy. But I did it because it's what my heart wanted to do at that time. And at that time, I really wanted people to see that side of me, that talent that I thought that I had. And I really wanted to explore. And I feel it's very important for young people to explore their different talents because it's part of life. You only have one life to live. Mm-hmm. You know, just see how you make it work for you and your circumstances and your environment. And, you know, because at the end of the day, you need to pay bills. So that was it. So when I went to beauty contest, when I was done in my year, and when I went back to university, people were like, oh, is she going to do well in university? Like, what do you mean? All my life, all I've done is do well in class. Even if I didn't do as well, I'll be very disappointed because I would always strive to do extremely well. So when I went back to university, I remember there was a semester I had all A's in my political science subject. And by the end of my 3 years, course and degree program, I got an honors, and they wanted me to stay back and study and do my PhD and, you know, become a tutor and later on become a lecturer, etc. So by then I was like, I think I want to do a bit of business. So it's been, you know, my life has been like that. But what has been constant is, like, I've always loved to engage young people, to speak my mind, to be of value and, you know, show young people the different possibilities.
Not be
a new horizon.
Yeah.
So that, I think that too, recently I've been reading a book, Dear Madam President, by, I think it's Juliet. She used to be communications director during the Obama administration, and she got involved in the Hillary Clinton campaign trail. She was the head of media, I think, for Hillary. And she spoke of something. The second chapter speaks of moving forward and drawing fire, like move forward, draw fire. Like whenever you're very maybe aggressive, and especially as a woman or a young woman who is of a certain type, who has explored various things, isn't apologetic, you know, fashion, loves fashion, fashion icon of sorts, you know, speaks her mind, brilliant, you know, and is very aggressive, then you're going to definitely be offensive. People are definitely going to be offended. People are definitely going to be threatened in a way. So collateral damage will definitely happen. Fire will explode. But does it mean you stop? No. You just put your trust in God and just believe that what you're doing is great. And you're pursuing what your God-given talents and what God requires of you in this society. So I did, as a result, people would use that to vilify you. Even when you look at the case of Winnie Mandela, who did quite a lot. She was beautiful. She was gorgeous. She was charismatic. She was aggressive, you know. But people still vilified her, you know.
And
I think it's just an aura.
It's, yeah.
That people cannot really grasp. What people can't understand, they tend to, you know, be a bit wary of.
Right. Now, Joke, just with regards to your appointment, you know, your recent appointment as district commissioner, what sort of reactions did you get, I should ask, from perhaps the male population? You know, what kind of reaction did you get? And are you the first woman to hold this sort of post? I imagine you're the youngest.
I'm definitely not the first woman.
I know you're definitely the youngest.
I'm not the first. I mean, in my region, I am the youngest. In this region that I'm at, I am the youngest, but there are other young women who have been appointed this position. The only difference is I've had a very popular past. You know,
so
I think I'm the first of that caliber to be appointed, for sure, and at a very tender age.
And
relatively, people think, oh, these roles were left for people who are a bit older.
Yeah.
But recently, through our president, he's been appointing a lot of young people into major roles, into, you know, all these key roles in government. But for me, I think it's a first.
So now, Joke,
people of my nature, yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, you're the youngest. You're very young. Because even the producer of the show of the podcast was saying she is so young, and I'm like, yep, she's young, and you look even younger. You look like you could be 18 or something. But now,
I get that all the time. Thank you, though.
You're like, thanks. Now, Jokate, so what does your day to day entail? You know, like if you break it down, like what exactly is your job description? Because I see, you know, in the footage and images, you literally arrive in some car, the army saluting you. I'm like, the army saluting Jokate. No disrespect, honorary Jokate, but
because I am the chairperson of the security council of the district.
Wow. Okay.
So generally I need to make sure everyone is secure, everyone is happy. If there are projects, development projects that are run by government, I need to make sure that they're running effectively. Value for money should be there. I need to engage different segments of the society, of this community, you know, align them towards a common goal, a common purpose.
So normally
I'll be at the office by 7 in the morning. I'll meet different people, different stakeholders, and I've been encouraging a lot of young people to just come to our offices and see how we could collaborate on different levels, be it if they want to engage young people, like students who want to do inspirational speaking, if they have projects of their own, they want to invest. Yeah, so we're kind of like creating that liaison between, we're that bridge between the people and the government, so to say. Yeah.
Okay. And so now also,
if something goes wrong in my district, I need to take responsibility.
So the buck stops with you, basically.
Yeah, I need to make decisions that will benefit the general welfare of the people of Kisarawe.
Okay.
Yeah.
And okay, just politically, how far do you want to take this? Where do you want to go? I mean, in my head, I know where you want to go.
I mean, one role at a time. Politics is very fickle. So to say. Yeah, but
like a true politician.
But in all honesty, for me, I'm all about appreciating the process. If you're always rushing for the next role, you would never soak in the experiences, the knowledge you were meant to get where you're at now.
Okay.
So for me right now, it's a learning process. I go to villages, I meet different people, different backgrounds, you know, and it's exciting to see that whatever I decide is going to impact them positively. So for me, it's a burden to constantly challenge myself to learn and to understand my surroundings, my environment, and to always think that at the back of my head that I need to make wise decisions that are well informed, so that knowing that whatever I decide, whatever project or person I engage, is going to affect X, Y, and Z in the district.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And Joke, just possibly two last questions before we let you go. So the first one is, you mentioned about how the current president of Tanzania has been employing a lot of young people. For somebody perhaps who's never been to Tanzania and everything, tell us a little bit about just, you know, some of the ratios and the numbers around young people, how much of the population they make up, and also just the involvement of young people and women in the economy.
Yeah. Currently, where we stand, I think 50% of the population is below the age of 18.
50% is below the age of 18?
Yes. During the batch, during my batch of district commissioners that were just recently appointed by the President, Dr. John Joseph Pombe Magufuli, who is also chairman of the ruling party, Chama cha Mapinduzi, we had 10 girls, 10 young girls who were also appointed for other districts. Also, we had this other young man who was appointed as regional commissioner. And we've had quite a good number of young people being deployed into positions that are really critical in government.
And why do you think...
Even in the cabinet level.
So why do you think it's important to the current president of Tanzania to be pushing young women and young people in general into positions of influence?
Well, because as I had said earlier on, statistics, I think, from this year give that 50% of the population is below the age of 18. And young people are definitely driving, the true drivers of development, of different agenda that really concerns them. And if you have young people are also very energetic. When you look at even at the global level, like most innovations that are changing how we think, how we communicate, you know, how we even use different services like taxi. You know, we have the Ubers and like Facebook and like Instagram, how we even do business. All these have been driven by young people in unconventional ways, you know. So we call it technology innovations that have been disruptive in our society. Young people have the energy, they have the commitment to think, to see things happen, and they're very grateful that we have a president who also sees this and sees the huge, not only the huge potential, but what we are actually made of. We're not talking about potential anymore. We're talking about us being able to do things. And we are doing things, we're making things happen. And for now, the needs of government are plenty. In Africa, populations are rising tremendously. You know, urbanization is going deeper and deeper into outside Dar es Salaam. For example, in Tanzania, outside Dar es Salaam, we're having all these cities being urbanized. So we definitely need to have the right kind of drive, the right kind of rigor that, for me, can only be achieved by young people.
Okay. All right, that makes
sense. And even how we work, we multitask, you know, we can slide through areas and, you know, be able to understand, grasp that this is an issue. How do we do? You know, we're always constantly looking for a solution and not looking to tell a problem. We're looking to tell, how are we going to solve this problem? This problem is an opportunity for us to do ABC.
Okay. Now, Jokate, I have also just a fire round of questions, you know, because we do like to ask this to the leaders that we speak to. So what are your thoughts?
It's nothing personal.
So what are your thoughts, firstly, around young leadership in Africa? Where do you think we stand now across the continent in terms of young leadership?
I loved how I saw Minister for Trade from Botswana. I'm sure you've seen her too. Yeah?
Yes, yes.
She's young, she's minister, and she's taking care of trade. I'd love to see more. We've seen a lot of, I've seen a couple of leaders take up ministerial positions, cabinet that's very high level. They deal with day-to-day activities of the state. But we would definitely love to see maybe in the future to see a younger president, you know?
Yeah,
that would be nice. Or a younger prime minister, you know, or a younger foreign minister, you know?
Okay.
We need to see people, like, young people should go from telling how much they could do and how much they need to be leaders to actually becoming these leaders, taking up these leadership positions and owning them and driving results, delivering.
Okay.
What needs to be delivered to our state and communities.
And then what are your thoughts on Africa losing talent and leaders to Western countries?
I think that's sad. For me, I mean, okay, the interchange of culture is great because it allows for us to learn from each other. I feel like a country like United States of America has been able to do so well just because they call it, it's a melting pot, yeah? Like different cultures go and blend and they create something that's beautiful. It's very, you learn different things, you're challenged. People get a force to have innovative ways of doing things and stuff like that. But for me, what young people need to appreciate is that we have a continent that is abundant, abundant in various resources, water resources, land resources. You know, we have like sun. The sun itself is a great resource, you know. We haven't been able to fully utilize what we have and reach our full potential, and that is because we feel so little of ourselves. Let me just point this out. I have an issue with even like intellectuals that constantly just criticizing leadership, criticizing where we are right now, and not really working to changing, you know, like our future, our disposition, and making it better. Running away, you're not solving a problem. You're just running away from the problem. The problem is still going to be there. So who do you want to make this area better? You know, even where the country you want to go to, is, they are where they are because they
people
made a
like
choice.
You
know, they made a choice that this is our land. We have to make the most of it. We have to drive innovation. We have to develop it. We have to own it. Young people from Africa need to understand that the role to changing Africa is within their hands and it's within their reach. Like, if they want Africa to be rich, it's going to be rich.
Sure, I like that.
And if they don't want to, yeah, if they don't want it to be, it's not going to be rich. If they decide to just lament and point fingers, because that's happening a lot in the continent, people are constantly pointing fingers, people are constantly letting, like, pulling each other down, not appreciating each other as much. I love how recently we have a lot of platforms that recognize talent, music, movies, innovations, entrepreneurs. That is great because that is shedding a positive light and giving our young generation a hope that, you know what, we can actually do something in our continent. We can actually change the narrative around our continent. You know, so let's just see this as an opportunity to change how things are done and appreciate that the power to do that is within ourselves.
And now, Jokate,
if you want to go out, learn, but come back and do something with the knowledge that you have.
And I think it's important to say that, you know, the fact that you were actually born in Washington, D.C., if I'm not mistaken, you technically could live in America. You technically could living there.
Yeah.
But you, as a African, you're not just saying this. You're actually practicing what it is that you preach, because you literally... You have visa that everybody's everybody's rushing after. You got the passport.
I'll tell you this. I was going to apply for Harvard, and I would have gotten it because my resume was pretty neat. Like, I'd done a lot of community work, and I was working with this guy who wanted to apply to Harvard. He got into Harvard. I was like, you know what? I think I want to study university in Tanzania, in Dar es Salaam, to show young people that it doesn't matter which university you go to. What matters the most is the passion and commitment you have from within.
Yeah, sure.
How daring you are, how much knowledge you're willing to learn and apply it and change your circumstances. Like, you can have everything, but if you don't have the passion to do something that's positive, you're not going to do it.
I mean, Jokate, if I can... if I can interject there, you're totally right, because I think everybody assumes that if you're an African... I mean, I just speak this from the perspective of seeing all these people willing to risk their lives, you know, with the migrant crisis and everything, you know, if you're a woman, you'll possibly be, well, you will be raped along the way. People are dying in the waters and everything. It's like, it's not that you get to Europe or to the States or the UK or anything like that and life is suddenly good. It's not as though when you step on the land, there's this big, you know. You and I both know, and I'm sure many people who listen to podcasts know a lot of Africans who have gone to quote-unquote greener pastures and are living worse than the way that they were when they were back home in Africa.
For sure.
And it's almost, you actually cannot dig yourself out of that. So I like what you're saying a lot, because it is such a valid point. And I think you speak from a place of authority where that's concerned. Like you mentioned, you could have gone to Harvard. You chose the University of Dar es Salaam. We've already discussed the fact that you were born in Washington, D.C. You've got the passport. But and here you are, a very young lady making a difference in Tanzania, which is possibly one of the most influential economies in the in East Africa, you know, and you're right there. So I think that it just your presence definitely makes a difference, you know, because people need to know that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Now, I thank God for everything.
So, Kate, when you think about Africa now versus Africa in the 20th century, what are your thoughts? How different is it?
I think by then there used to be this euphoria, then stuff happened. Things didn't really go the way they were meant to go. But again, as I said, I do not really like stressing on what went wrong or what happened. For me, I see opportunity for us to turn the situation upside down and really now embrace what we have and take it forward.
And when you think Africa State of Mind, what comes to your mind?
Africa State of, it's acknowledging and appreciating and embracing being African and all that it takes, because that is what makes us unique. I love my cultures. I love my grandparents. I love it when I go to the village. It's beautiful. You know, I love the trees. I love the sun and how it shines so harshly. You know, the African state of mind is just appreciating and seeing the good in being African. You know?
And now just to add to that, if somebody were to ask you this question, it's a little bit, it could be simple or complex depending, and somebody says to you, what is an African? How would you define that?
So tough, because that's actually a question, one like you're asked in your history class. And you need to write a whole essay around it.
Yeah.
500 words. I don't know what means. I think it's okay by birth, but we've seen so many Africans who come and adapt and become maybe more African than us. But embracing the culture, the traditions, and the way of life that really defines who we are. Africans are very loving. They're very gracious. Ubuntu. You know Ubuntu? You are because I am. We are because you are. You know, a sense of togetherness. Brotherhood, sisterhood. That for us to progress, we need to look after each other. I think that's the best definition of what it means to be African.
Okay.
Ubuntu, you are, I am, because I am. You are a product of my existence. And that is true to life. Like, we cannot live in isolation. We're not islands. We need to connect. We need to help each other. I think this was lost along the way. People became a bit individualistic and a bit centered, because I think of the pressures of this liberal lifestyles and thoughts and policies that drifted us away from that. But we need to go back to that, because it is through working hand in hand as a unit that we are going to really, truly develop Africa. And there's power in unity. I'm sure you understand this.
No, definitely. Definitely.
Yes. And if Africa is able to really stand as a unit with all the rich resources that we have, I don't see anyone coming in and dividing us and taking advantage of that division.
I agree.
Of the cracks and such. Yeah.
Jokate, thank you so much for spending time with us on Africa State of Mind today.
Thank you for having me.
I said it in the beginning, and I'm going to say it again. I'm extremely proud of you. I think that what you have done in your life, whether you've done it as you've achieved all that you have at this young age or if you were a lot older, it's still phenomenal. Many people go their whole lives and they are never able to do all the things that you have done. But I think, you know, from this conversation, what people will gather is the fact that you're extremely passionate about what it is that you do. So congratulations. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be watching. Thanks for spending time with us in Africa State of Mind. And definitely, I feel that just by your existence, you're changing the African narrative. And yeah, please continue. I have to come to Tanzania. Please, when I come one time, we need to go in one of those cars. And then I want to be saluted standing next to you. I want to be take a picture while the army salutes you. No, I'm kidding. Asante sana.
Yeah.
Bye.
Thank you, Leslie. And great, props on having this show. It is what we need.
Thank you, Jokate.
Perfect timing.
Awesome. Thanks
God
so much.
God bless you.
God bless you too. Bye.
All right. Bye.
And that's how we come to the end of this episode of Africa State of Mind. Please pardon my clogginess. I just came back from an amazing vacation back home in Uganda. I just had to explain why I sounded this way. As you can tell, I had quite a lot of fun. Nonetheless, thank you very much, Jokate, for spending time with us. If you wanna suggest any other guests that we should be having on the podcast, please do tweet us at Africa State Mind or join the Facebook group Africa State of Mind, or just, you know, just let us know. Like, we always respond. We're like very cool like that. Also, don't forget to tell your friends about the podcast. It's Africa State of Mind with Lika Sumba on iTunes. Be sure to rate, review, subscribe. It's been really lovely. Thank you very much. And we look forward to the next episode. Bye.
Africa State of Mind with Lika Sumba. Get it on iTunes now.